K1. I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time this morning on a community connection with candidate for Congress, Andy Coleman, and our program this morning brought to you by First Baptist Church and by Tallgrass Motors. And good morning once again, Andy. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Hey, good morning, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
And again, candidate for the seat currently occupied by Congressman Jim Bridenstine, First
yes.
District.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Bridenstine said even when he ran for his first term, if he got lucky enough to serve three terms, that he would step down after that third term.
Mm-hmm.
So November 18, it'll be an open seat.
That's right.
You're one of several announced candidates for that seat.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had the opportunity to talk a little bit. Unlike some who have more of a Tulsa nexus, you've been in and around the Bartlesville area for the at least last several years anyway.
That's right. It's been a joy. It's a great community here. I've been serving with Voice of the Martyrs, a Christian ministry that serves the persecuted church in really the most dangerous corners of the planet. And I've been running their work in the Middle East. So for us, that's 17 countries, $8.5 million worth of project work spread out over those different areas. And it has been just a joy to serve with that team, the Middle East region team, and with our incredible partners in these countries.
And prior to that service, you were in the service,
yes.
graduate of the Air Force Academy, I believe.
That's right. So I've had the opportunity to speak with a number of veterans over the last several months. Some of them like ring knockers, as academy guys are often called. Others are tolerating me because of that, but it's been really good to connect with them.
Well, having served with all varieties of officers on how they got there,
mm-hmm.
Yes, they you can after a while tell, but you know, they all have good leadership skills. So serving as a retired master sergeant, welcome to the crowd. Thank you very much.
Well, it's a joy. Thank you for your service. And yeah, I mean, I really have enjoyed meeting with all of the different veterans from the different walks, the different jobs that they've been doing, the different areas of service that they've held. But it also reminded me of my time in Baghdad when I was serving with the Army during the surge, 2007 to 2008. We had Navy guys, we had Army guys, we had Air Force guys all serving together. Of course, we ribbed each other a lot.
Of
there was
course.
A lot of jokes that were tossed back and forth.
That's traditional.
So it had to happen. But it was really good.
Well, and I think over the past, and you can quantify it probably better than I can, over the past approximately 20 years, we've found that interrelationship mixing more and more. Air Force bases that were near or adjacent to an Army post have been, you know, redesignated as combined service posts and that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. So it's a different service than maybe it was 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, and I think in many ways it's probably working better. I think sometimes things were too compartmentalized, where I remember studying at the Air Force Academy, previous engagements, military engagements, where the Navy struggled to talk with the Army, which struggled to talk with the Air Force, and here we are trying to coordinate a military effort, and things can go sideways pretty quick
mm-hmm.
when you're having those kinds of problems. So I like that we're working well together.
Well, one of my assignments was in a tactical air support group, so mm-hmm. That forward air controller mission, yes, it was Air Force NCOs on the ground coordinating mm-hmm. with Army, but talking to that close air support pilot. So the mission has, to a certain extent, always been integrated. But yeah, I think the closer relationship seems to be more efficient.
Yeah, and I like that. Those are good guys that are serving in those roles. And anything, because you know things can get crazy overseas pretty quick. So anything to make that job easier and more sensible is great. So
yeah, it is. So those two roles with the Voice of the Martyrs and, of course, your prior military service, do you feel like makes you distinctively qualified for some of the committees that you could serve on?
Well, I think so. I do think it is a unique aspect of my background. One of my initial thoughts was that I would appreciate being a voice in this national conversation, and I do think that background piece of it lends itself to me being a thoughtful voice in that conversation. So, you know, veterans are becoming a smaller and smaller segment of our society,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think is great. I think that we need to have more people serving. But to be able to speak intelligently, coherently into these things, and also just to have that background, I think is so important, both with national security and also dealing with our veterans.
Well, then I think I have heard the expression, and I believe it to be true, that the veterans or our active duty military personnel truly are the 1%, because it's a, it's that group of people who can choose to serve and are qualified to serve. And so it really puts it down to you know, approximately 98-99% of the folks depending on 1% for defense.
Well, that's right. And you know, for any younger listeners out there, I am a big proponent of military service. I think it's an exciting life. Even if you just want to spend a few years serving your country, it's a really interesting way to do it. It's an, you're going to get trained up on some interesting skill sets. You're likely to see some things that other people will not. And I just think it's a very rewarding thing. So yeah, you give back to your country, but your country also provides you a lot when you serve.
Because it, we're more than a year away from the election, I want to find out a lot about you, and we can talk hypothetically about situations that the nation finds itself in. But by the time we get to election, some of the things that we might talk about today are, you know, could easily change. But there are some things in the news that I think you would probably speak well to because of your background. Over the past week, a suggestion has been made to change the GI Bill to ask members to basically contribute to an education savings account, to, as opposed to the way that has been done since World War II, where it's a it's simply a provided government benefit that when you leave with that satisfactory service DD-214 or equivalent, that that benefit is there for you.
Yeah, and I haven't had a chance to review that in detail, whatever that proposal was. I have heard some concerns raised about it.
Yeah.
I've liked the way that it's played out in the past. So to deviate from that, I think it would really take a lot of review and and processing.
And like I said, I just want to touch on a couple of things, because obviously, yes, they affect who you are and what people know about you. But on the other hand, I'm not expecting a developed position, because we're more than a year away. One of the things that I certainly has been a problem for the Congress for a number of years, I don't remember the exact number, but I believe it's Congress has only passed a budget on time like five times between 1975 and today. And this week again, when they returned, you know, we're talking about, like, I think it's an 8-day window that they've got to get something done on a budget, or at least a CR.
It might be less than that. It might be 5 days.
It could be five.
So yeah, I'm hopeful. There's a lot on their plates, but I am hopeful that President Trump and our Congress can work together and see something through, to see a budget passed, if at all possible. But I know that they've got they're looking at tax reform. They're looking at revisiting the healthcare issue. So some big things. It's going to be a busy week, I think, up on the Hill and in our nation's capital.
We're again talking with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman, and we will continue our time on A Community Connection in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Continuing our time this morning on A Community Connection on 1400 K1, again talking with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Andy Coleman. Some of the other things that are out there, just the budget philosophy in general, I think that's something we can talk about. Congressman Bridenstine, among others, who I think from Oklahoma, the philosophy is, let's do it the right way. Let's pass those series of appropriation bills and budget bills in order and actually get a budget passed, signed by the president prior to the beginning of the fiscal year.
No, I fully agree with that. In fact, the Congress really only has one power, and that is the power of the purse. And to not be passing budgets, to not be active in actively involved in that is to really surrender that power. So, and all that comes with it. So I agree that the best way to do it, the way it's designed, is for us to be passing budgets.
Yeah, and I'll also mention, actually, I think both of our senators, but I think Senator Lankford is probably a little bit more vocal on this one, that in legislation over the past 20, 30 years, Congress has given to the executive branch basically legislative power to write the implementing wording of rules of everything from EPA to the health care law to a lot of other things that really, at least in his opinion, and when you stop and think about it, he's probably right, that actually is the purview of the Congress.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot of that legislative power has been abdicated in that way, and then through that, you've had some real problems with regulatory overreach, and it's interesting to look into why that all played out. Sometimes it seems that the Congress actually wanted to surrender some of that so that they wouldn't have to make some of these calls, but I do think that that's why they're elected. I think they have to make those votes and to really reclaim some of what's been lost.
It does seem, at least to me as an observer, that congressmen, particularly in election year, shy away from some of the tough topics because they don't want to offend a certain population from their constituency.
Yeah, that does happen. And I think, you know, as candidates are coming up and sharing who they are and their vision, I think they have to be transparent. For example, for myself, if I'm successful, I want to serve for a season, and I already took a term limits pledge myself for 4 full terms. Mm-hmm. And you know, if I'm successful, I'll be very grateful to serve that out. But if I have to take a position that the families here just disagree with, I understand, and very, very content to serve as long as I can in the midst of that term limit season.
Yeah. Any particular reason that you chose that 4-year term self limit?
Well, one of the reasons that it's 4 is that some on our campaign team were not happy with the idea of term limits, period, and I get it. I understand why. There's merit to their arguments. But I also have just been an observer of power, honestly, in the international arena and the foreign affairs sector, but also how power can influence the human heart and our politicians. And I think when I look at some of those that have gone before me, and have stayed principled, or salty, if you will, on the first day, and they're principled and salty on their last day, a lot of times it's because they took active measures to fence themselves off from some of those temptations and the trappings of power, and this was one of those aspects. So I don't want to go up and just become a part of things. I don't want to be co-opted. I want to be salty on my first day. I want to be salty on my last day. And so for me, this was the right thing to do. It's something that my family and I prayed over for months, and I can sleep at night. I feel very content making that call.
Well, certainly it follows what I think many believe the founders had in mind when they termed the citizen legislator.
That's right, exactly. So, like, I think we talked about it maybe this before, but you know, if I'm successful, if I'm elected, my family's not going anywhere. We're planted right here in Oklahoma. We love it. I'll be there when we're in session. When we're not in session, I'll be back home. Meeting with the communities around here, and I think to make sure that I am tethered to the community and I'm tethered to their interests and not my own career, I think taking that term limits pledge was the right thing to do.
Congressman Bridenstine had a pretty active town hall meeting last week in Tulsa. Discussion back and forth with the audience. I'm sure he heard a lot of things that he was looking for, but seems as though town halls have gotten, I'll say, more active than just a question and answer session recently.
Yeah, they have, and I get that there's going to be cycles in that as issues come up. Some of them are more volatile than others, and that's okay with me. I get it that people are passionate about what they believe in. You know, when people are concerned, if they perceive things to be going the wrong way, they need to speak up. That's part of our form of government, a Republican representative form of government. So I'm all for people being vocal, being passionate. I would, argue that there's a way to do that, in a proper way. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I speak up for is statesmanship. The thing that I expect our elected representatives to demonstrate as they deal with one another. I also believe that there's something to be said for decorum, the way that we engage statesmen to community, community to statesmen. So just that we can elevate perhaps the nature of our dialogue in our communities.
Well, I know that when I was a much younger person, that was what we expected from Congress. I think mm-hmm. some of those expectations are changed, or maybe just the behavior has changed and we accept it. I'm not sure. But either mm-hmm. way, I think things definitely have changed over the years.
Yeah.
So other things, I'm going to refer to Congressman Mullins' town hall when he was in Nowata a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. He talked about the fact that as individual members of Congress, and also just as a community, that certainly there is room for disagreement on how we get to a particular goal. But if everybody is working to achieve the same goal, whatever's best for the constituency, whatever's best for the country, mm-hmm. then the rest of it we can talk about.
That's right. That's right. You know, when we're all on the same page, let's wrap our arms around each other and celebrate that. When we have to take disagreements, let's hash it out. But let's hash it out as respectfully as we can.
Okay. Because you have a background through either military service or through your work for overseas, particularly through Voice of the Martyrs, I'm sure you've developed some ideas, particularly as it relates to foreign policy.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Just a few minutes ago, I mentioned how I've looked and seen power play out. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how that plays out in the international arena.
Yes, it is.
You have the misapplication of power by, say, foreign heads of state, but you also have the incredible dangers that arise when a failed state comes into play. So in the Middle East, I've seen that happen in Syria, in Yemen, in Libya. All kinds of bad actors will be more than happy to fight it out in those arenas. And there's some pretty tough dogs that can win that fight in the form of ISIS or Al-Qaeda or other groups. So I think that we have to be very thoughtful in the way that we engage the international arena. I also think we have to be light on our feet and be able to engage with agility and to be able to get in, get out quickly without getting too bogged down.
Over the 8 years of President Obama, and you can even go back further than that, military budgets have decreased year mm-hmm. in, year out. Strength both in equipment and manpower has fallen off. Would you in general be in favor of an increase in manning and also in procurement budget?
Yes, I am. And I'm still, you know, looking at the making sure it makes fiscal sense. I want to make sure that those dollars are appropriated from other areas of the budget, which I think would be a proper allocation. But yes, our manpower is down, our equipment numbers are down, and the readiness of our equipment is down. So I think all of that has to be bolstered.
And I think so many of the civilian force don't look at the procurement timelines, that if you want mm-hmm. a bomber to be ready in 2020, it takes several years of design, R&D, et cetera, to actually have it produced in 2020.
Yeah, you have to be forward-leaning when you're looking into that and really project things out quite a ways out. So it's a difficult process, but it's definitely one that I want to be a thoughtful voice in.
Okay. Obviously, like I said earlier, we're more than a year away from mm-hmm. the election, but no doubt you're already making contact, shaking hands, talking with individuals. I'm not sure you're out knocking on doors yet, but you probably have been in some public gatherings and said, you know, hi, I'm running for Congress.
That's right. You know what? That's been a lot of fun. The work that I've been doing in the Middle East, whether as an intelligence officer in the military or working in the field with Christian ministry, has really required me to keep a very quiet presence, a very low footprint. So the fact that I'm actually able to go out and talk to people has actually been a lot of fun. So I've enjoyed it, and I'll keep doing it.
Well, I'm sure people, as they get to know you better, will say, hey, I got a topic for you. Let's talk about this, or let's talk about that. Yep. And some of them will probably be the first time you heard about them, but mm-hmm. you probably will something like, I'll get back to you on that.
Well, that's absolutely right, and that's one of the reasons I am out meeting people, is I want to hear from them what's at the top of their list, what they're most concerned of or what they most want to see happen at the federal level.
Okay. Well, we've got about a minute left. Let's talk about, you've got a website.
And, I do.
People can find out a little bit about Andy Coleman and also ask some of those preliminary questions. Andy, what's your view on topic Y?
That's right. People can reach out to me at my website, www.andycoleman.org, or they can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, @AndyColeman79. Facebook is at Andy Coleman, number 4, OK.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time this morning. And I know it's a long way out. It probably will be a wide open field because it's an open seat. Mm-hmm. But best of luck, and I would say that to whoever's sitting there because I like good candidates. Thank
you
very much.
Thank you so much, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Candidate for the first congressional seat, Andy Coleman. Again, we are, you know, it's the election of 2018 in November, so roughly 6 months from now to November 17. Add another year on that, and we've got a time for you to meet Andy Coleman and probably the other candidates that will be in the field. Sunshine and a high today near 78. News on the way coming up in just a bit from the Oklahoma News Network. Our Community Connection on K1 brought to you by Tallgrass Motors and by First Baptist Church. 5 minutes now before 9 o'clock at K1.
ONN News, I'm Jacqueline Scott. Good Monday morning. Funerals.